Today, I'm here to talk about an African country, a place with booming agriculture, booming economy due to agriculture, various ethnicities, and a place of history that won't be forgotten. Rwanda, located just southwest of Uganda and east of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, is a small country known for what happened there in 1994, a genocide. I can't quite say a small one because genocides are so serious, but this mass killing happened over a span of about 100 days, according to BBC.com. Conflict began with a revolution in 1959 between the Hutu and Tutsi people. The Tutsi were forced out of the country and the Hutu won the revolution. Before the revolution, Rwanda's government was a Tutsi monarchy. Once the Tutsi were gone, the Hutu created a republic ran by a Hutu leader for the next 20 years. An angry Tutsi people wanted back in on the ruling of their home country. The RPF, the Rwandanese Patriotic Front, was formed by the Tutsi and they invaded Rwanda from Uganda. The RPF was powerful and began to cause chaos in the country, so the Hutu people made an agreement with the RPF in 1992, creating temporary peace. Key word there is temporary. On April 6, 1994, a plane carrying the Hutu leader and other government authorities was shot down from the sky. Hutu extremists were looking for someone to blame, and the easiest target was the Tutsi people. With this accusation, a genocide took form. The Hutu planned, and the first stage of genocide was made. Classification. It was simple. The Hutu were the good people, and the Tutsi were all the threats. Next, people used signs and symbols to identify Tutsi people, whether it was specific facial scarring, ethnic trends, or even a mark on ID cards that identified Tutsi people. Soon after identification was established, propaganda was created to promote the threats that the Tutsi opposed. Within this propaganda, dehumanization was woven in, referring to the Tutsis as cockroaches or unwanted things. Radios would read out the names of higher-powered Tutsi officials, implying their death or adding them to a hit list. Then, the next step was organization. Hutu officials were ordered to barricade Tutsi people in, and family names were handed out to officials to be killed or kept track of. Next, polarization. The Tutsi extremists killed the Hutu prime minister and her bodyguards on April 7th, the day after the plane crash, causing the Hutu to revolt and specifically target Tutsi people. With all this built-up hate, the Hutu needed preparations and thought to go into their ideas. So they began convincing people and organizing killing methods. Also, the roadblocks and containers for the Tutsi played a big part in preparations. Finally, extermination. Citizens were told to kill their neighbors and they would survive. Priests were told to kill people in churches and the Hutu officials and enforcers were ordered to kill any Tutsi they see. This process went on for weeks, but soon stopped when the RPF gained control over the Hutu government and the Hutu fled to the Congo. Years later, the RPF actually sent members out of the Congo to find any remaining Hutu and were ordered to kill them in revenge. Any Hutu official or participant in the genocide soon came comfortable denying their actions, and some were killed for denying it, not that they weren't going to be killed anyways for what they had done. However, denial was practiced by both sides, for the RPF had killed thousands of Hutu in attempts for revenge. They too deny their actions, and soon after, a court was made to bring people to justice, but up to 10,000 were killed before their trials. Now, this genocide was short-lived, and ultimately ineffective in the sense of gaining power. Yes, many Tutsi were killed, but it was the Tutsi in the end that had control. Throughout this genocide, international assistance was virtually non-existent, especially from the U.S. Many U.S. troops had been killed in Somalia earlier, causing the U.S. to back off any international affairs in terms of military. Now, this genocide may have lasted a lot shorter than, let's say, the Holocaust, but the two, stage-wise, are virtually the same because of how people reacted. It started with the blame game, followed by one group forcing another group out, or in the Holocaust case, in. Then that group was targeted, harassed, killed, and closely exterminated. The only big difference between the two is how it ended. The Jews were scarce in number and were forced to leave Europe. The Tutsi gained power and got some revenge on the Hutu. So, in conclusion, the Hutu put together a genocide against the Tutsi to an extent, but then the Tutsi took over with the RPF, forced the Hutus out of the country, or killed them. So pretty much this was a genocide that was effective and then backfired.